Good morning.
I'd like to read this morning in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 34. Second book of Chronicles 34. I felt that there was a sort of a gap in my Bible knowledge or theology. And I felt I had to go back to the book of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles to study it to get a better grasp of that portion of the Bible. One interesting thing I found out when studying 2 Chronicles is that 2 Chronicles deals only with the kings of Judah. And someone says, actually it talks about Ahab. Yeah, it does talk about Ahab, but in his relationship with Jehoshaphat. So it deals with the kings of Judah in order. It goes all the way through. Each chapter, when you look, for example, the chapter we're reading this morning, chapter 34, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Well, all of the chapters seem to take that format. They introduce the king, they tell how old he was when he started to reign, they tell how many years he reigns, and they summarize his reign, whether it was a good reign or a bad reign. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to open up the Word of God. Father, open up our eyes to see Jesus. Father, we know we're in the Old Testament, but Father, that we might have a vision of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We ask your blessing now as we share this time together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we read this morning, I'd like to read through different sections, not just read it all in one reading. I'd like to read the first seven verses to start off with. The summary of Josiah's reign, verses 1 and 2, 3 to 7, his conversion and spiritual progress. And then verses 18 to 13, his major spiritual accomplishment. And then verses 14 to 28, the spiritual awakening of the people of the land. So we'll read the first seven verses. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, and the carved images and the molten images, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were in the high above them, and he cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode them upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them, and he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars, and he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, he cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, and he returned to Jerusalem. The Lord will bless this portion of the reading. I want to start off thinking about this young man, extraordinary young man, 8 years of age. Could you imagine if all of a sudden they said, we are going to have an 8-year-old boy be the Prime Minister of Canada, or an 8-year-old boy say he is going to be the President of the United States? We'd say that is impossible. Well, I'm sure during those first 8 years of his reign, from the time he was 8 till he was 16, or the time he was 20, he had counselors that were working with him. I'm sure that was the procedure. But even so, a little boy of 8 years old making decisions for the country. But it's interesting, we see in his life when he becomes, in verse 3, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, so he would be 16 years of age, it says he began to seek after the God of David, his father. I want to liken this to his conversion experience. At the age of 16 years old, how old can a boy be before he accepts Christ as a Savior? How old do you have to become a Christian? Can you become a Christian at 8 years old? Well, I'm sure you can. I've heard of little children saying, I accepted the Lord when I was 4 years old, when I was 5 years old, and they're 50 years old now, and they have lived a life to prove that they have trusted Christ as a young man or a young boy or a young girl, and their lives have lived out the truth that Christ is living in their heart by faith. But I want to think about this experience as I look around our audience this morning. If you are 16 years of age, have you had this time in your life when you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior? A couple of days ago on Friday morning, we went to a funeral. My aunt died and we went to a funeral. And it's interesting, in the book of Ecclesiastes, a verse in chapter 7, it says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. At a funeral, there is a lot of sorrow. There is a lot of tears because a loved one of ours has passed from this life into the next. But the funeral is not for the person that's in the casket. That person has gone on to meet their maker. The funeral is for us that remain behind. The funeral is for us, for those in the family, that they might be comforted, because there's a grieving process that is very, very important in a funeral. Do you know that? Some people that have lost a loved one, maybe at sea, or maybe they have wandered off, like last fall, there was a young man in December that was walking along the North River Causeway, and they saw him walking there, and nobody has seen him since. And that family, they are grieving. That family is wondering what has happened to that young man. And it must be terrible to be a parent and thinking about things like that. So in the life that we are living, we are constantly coming across being confronted with spiritual realities of life and death. And each one of us, this young man here, he was 8 years old, and all of a sudden, some people took him and they set him upon a throne and said, you are now the king. If he was an eight-year-old boy now, he'd say, but I want to play on my PlayStation. I don't want to be the king. And here's a boy that is put in authority. And I'm sure those first 8 years, they sort of just dwindled away. But as he starts to get older, he's 16 years of age, and he starts to realize there's something more important in this life than Nintendo or PlayStation or playing marbles or whatever games that the people played in that day and age. On Friday night, they were playing Crokinole. Could you imagine? Here's the little king, Josiah, playing Crokinole, and he's got all his buddies around, and they're playing Crokinole week after week. And some people never get over the game of Crokinole. They die. They might be the best Crokinole player in PEI, and they go out into a lost eternity. They're frittering away their life with games. This morning, we're talking about spiritual realities. An eight-year-old boy, he's put in this position, and then he starts to seek after the God of David, his father. Do you know Josiah was a very special boy because he was a predicted king. 300 years earlier, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 13, there was a man of God that predicted there would be a king by the name of Josiah, and he would be raised up. I can imagine how many boys would have been called Josiah during those years, everybody hoping that their son would be this king that would be the rescuer of Israel. Because we're going to see the situation in the land in which he was living. It says, And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So here we see him putting into practice his spiritual beliefs. I wonder, are there any 16-year-old boys that are in this meeting that could come up and stand in the platform and say, okay, we're going to open up the book of 1 Chronicles, and I'm going to teach you what the Word of God says. When I was in El Salvador, there was a young man, Amos. He was the age of 19, and he said, I want to come down and visit you. So he came down and visited me. On the way from the airport to my house, I said to him, I said, where are you studying? He says, I'm studying in the book of 1 Chronicles. Do you know any 19-year-old boys that are studying in Chronicles? Do you know any 19-year-old boys that are reading their Bible and studying their Bible? I've been encouraged in the Bible studies. I hear this young man speaking in the Bible study downstairs, asking intelligent questions, giving intelligent contributions, his brother also. Be nice to hear some of these other young men. It's important that as a young man, what does the Bible say? A young man should bear the yoke in his youth. When we read the rest of the story about Josiah, he didn't live to a ripe old age. He had a life that was filled with the blessing of God, but his life was cut short. At age 20, he started to put into practice what he believed. He made manly decisions. He purged the country of wickedness. Do you realize that there's spiritual wickedness around you? When you look in the newspapers and you see the headlines, do you realize that there's wickedness? I was reading something yesterday. It says a school nurse has to ask permission to give an aspirin to one of the students. She has to ask permission from the parents to give medication to the students. But an abortionist can practice abortion on one of their children, one of their daughters, without asking permission. What has the world come to? Are we living in a world of wickedness? If you were to break an eagle's egg in the United States, it would be a crime punishable by the law. But you can kill an unborn baby. The eagle isn't born, it's only an egg. We're comparing apples to apples here. I hope you get that. You can be put in prison for breaking an eagle's egg, but you can commit an abortion and be paid $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000. So the values of this life are upside down. So Josiah realized that something was corrupt. As he looked around, he saw that the people that they were living in, the land was corrupt. They were worshiping idols. He saw that they were not keeping the Passover. He could see that the temple was in disrepair. They were not reading the Word of God. How do we know they were not reading the Word of God? We're going to come to that. So as a man in full authority, by the age of 20 years old, he starts cleaning up idolatry. If you notice in verse 6, it also extends, his authority also extends, and says he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali. Why did that take place? Well, because the northern kingdom, they were carried away into captivity at that time. And those that remained behind, Josiah realized that there was something wrong with them, and they were living in darkness and idolatry. And he reached out to them, and he had a crusade, and he went up to the north, and he went through those four cities. And he was calling them back to God. He was calling them back to a right relationship with God. And as we see, he's going to call them back when it's time to keep the Passover. They had not been keeping the Passover. Verse 8. We'll read this section. And now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, He sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of his God. So he's 26 years of age. In the 18th year of his reign, a lot of stuff has taken place. He had gone through the land, purging the land. And he destroyed all the idols. He thinks that everything is in great shape now. It says, and when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought through the into the house of God, which the Levites had kept, the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim and all the remnant of Israel and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and the builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, and the Levites and the sons of Merari and Zechariah and Meshullam, and the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward, and to the other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also there were over the bearers of burdens and the overseers of all that wrought the work in the manner of the service, and of the Levites that were scribes and the officers and porters. And when they were brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah found a book of the law given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law of the house of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers, into the hand of the workmen. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, and concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because of our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that and the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum the son of Tikvath, the son of Hashra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spoke to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell you the man that sent me to you, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, and all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place, and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, even I have heard thee also, thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to the grave of thy to the grave in peace, neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. At age 26, he realized that the house of God was in disarray and disrepair. Some of the previous kings had taken money, had taken some of the instruments, utensils out of the house of God, and they used it to bribe some of the enemy kings. And some of the other ones had come in and they destroyed the house of God. Anyway, the money that was collected was delivered to Hilkiah the high priest, and he had collected this money, and he was going around and he was paying the workers. They were responsible stewards of the money because they were giving it to the workmen that were doing the work. But something very unusual happens. As Hilkiah goes into the temple one day to get some of the money, he looks around and he sees a book over in the corner. Maybe there was a lot of dust on it. And he goes over and he brushes it off and says, "What is this?" And he looks, and here it is, the book of the law. I'm thinking, if he was the high priest, what was he using up to this time? He is God's representative to the people, and he does not have the word of God in his hands. And yet you say, well, that's a tragedy that he has the word of God. But how about us that have the word of God and don't open it? It sits on our shelf. We have our place where our Bible is in the closet there. You know, maybe it's above the coats, you know, where you're ready to go out the door. You go there and you put your hand on your Bible, and there it is. Every Sunday you go and get your Bible. Or maybe on Wednesday night you reach up there and you get your Bible. But during the rest of the time, that Bible is never opened. You never crack its pages. You never speak with God. You never see what God has to say to you. So something happens. Hilkiah, when he finds his book, I am thinking he is going to drop to his knees. He's going to open up the pages, and he is going to pour his eyes over the words that have been written on those pages. But what does he do? The first thing he does, he takes and he gives the book to the scribe. And the scribe now takes the book and he gives it to the king. Just this past week, there was something very interesting on Facebook. There was a group of Chinese Christians receiving Bibles for the first time in their life. I don't know if you saw that video, but someone brought these suitcases in, and they went over and they picked these books. They were Bibles. They were covered in plastic, and they took them out, and they were looking at it, and the tears were coming down their face. They were smelling it. They were holding it to their heart. It was heartwarming that they had a desire for the Word of God. And we, how many Bibles do we have in our houses? We say, well, that's the Bible I had when I got saved, and here's the Bible later, and here's another translation, and you can show a stack of Bibles like this. There's people around the world, they don't have one Bible. And the Word of God is precious. And they feasted upon it. So Hilkiah, the high priest, he takes the book and he gives it to the scribe. And then the scribe goes and he goes and reports to the king, they've done everything according to your commands. They're repairing the temple and the work is going forward. But by the way, Hilkiah found a book. And he gave me this book and he wanted me to show it to you. So he brought the book in, and the king says, remember the king was seeking after the Lord? His heart was prepared. He wanted to know what God had to say to him. And when he heard the words of the book, what did he do? He ripped his clothes. Do you remember those old cartoons when you're a little kid and Hulk was there? And when Hulk became strong, his clothes were ripped off, or Superman pulling his clothes off and showing the big S on the front of his sweater? Well, this was a man that ripped open his clothes, but he was aghast at the horrible sins that his people were committing. Yes, I believe there was idolatry. Yes, I believe there was fornication. I believe there was a lot of grievous sins that were being committed in the presence of God. And they were calling stones their God. And they were calling statues their gods. So the king responds in verse 19, "It came to pass when the king heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan." Verse 21, he says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found." You know what I was thinking when I read that first? Was he looking for a second opinion? Was he looking for a way out? Was he saying, "These words seem very harsh. I don't want to hear that message. I would like a message from another prophet. Or I would like a message from God to speak to me." But that's not the intent of what is written here. When he saw the judgment that was upon him and his people, he was looking for a way of escape. He was looking that there might be a way of deliverance, that they might escape this judgment that God was going to pour out upon them. Do you think this morning that God has anything to do with your life? As you sit there in your seat, do you believe that God has control of your life and that one day you're going to stand before God? And for all the foul words that have come out of your mouth, you are accountable. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." He that takes the name of the Lord in vain, he is accountable to God. God will not let him go free. God will punish him. Yes. And God requires that which is past. You say, "Well, I'm not going to do it from here on in." All those blasphemies of the past, all those fornications of the past, all those abominations of the past, God has a record of every wrong thing that you've done. But you know, God is a forgiving God. And we're going to find out the grace and the mercy of God. Do you know, at this point, I'm figuring that Shaphan, he's just going to run straight over to Hilkiah, and he says, "Listen, the king wants someone to inquire of the Lord. So you're the man, you're the high priest, you're God's chosen man upon this earth and in this kingdom. You're the man that we go to." So what does Hilkiah do? He says, "Listen, I know a woman. I know a woman that's in touch with God. But how about all the other priests? How about all the Levites? How about all the scribes? There wasn't one man in the kingdom of Israel or Judah that was in touch with God. They had to go to woman." Thank God for godly women. Where was she getting her information? If Hilkiah didn't have the book, how was she so in touch with God? Well, you know, some of us, we've sat through many gospel meetings, through many ministry meetings, and we remember the Word of God that was preached, and we have hidden the Word of God in our heart. And we can say, "This preacher, he said so-and-so, and this guy said so-and-so." And we remember those stories, and they have affected our lives because they were men that were sent from God. Remember what the Bible says about John the Baptist? There was a man sent from God. God's sending young men here and older men. I hope our ministry isn't over yet, is it, Brother Jock? I hope God still has something to do with us. I hope he hasn't set us on the shelf and there's nothing useful that we can do from here on in. I think each one of us, it's our prayer that God would use us all over again like he did before. That's the prayer of mine in my heart, that God would take me up and use me. And for each one of you, I know this morning it's a storm and there's empty seats, but there's a lot of empty seats a lot of days in here, isn't there? Yeah. Yeah, we have to get right with God. So he goes to Huldah. Hilkiah went with them. You'd think he would have been a little bit ashamed of doing that. In the sense, here's the man that should have the answers, and he doesn't have the answers. But you know, when someone is in touch with God, all of us are attracted to that. Those of us who are seeking after God, we want to get right with God because we remember what it was like in the past. So he goes and he hears the word coming from her mouth. And what are the words? She says, I think. Right, Josh? She says, I think. She says, thus saith the Lord. Isn't it great that she has hid the word of God in her heart? She has stored it up for a time when God is going to use her. And you know, today is a day of preparation. The greatest time before war is the time of preparation. And we're in a battle, we're in a spiritual battle, and God is preparing young men and young women. Brother Josh is embarked on a study course to get to know God better. The other day, I was at Value Village, and I went to the Christian book, the book section there, and it says, seminary in a book. Somebody didn't need it. They know it all. I picked it up. I looked through it. Some good stuff in there. We have to prepare ourselves for the work of God. You're preparing yourself for a career. You say, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a veterinarian. I want to be a school teacher. I want to be a nurse. And you're preparing. You have all these years of study laid out before you. But how about your spiritual life? Are you doing something like that? Are you using your time effectively? Are you putting aside 1 hour a week? That would be a good start, wouldn't it? You say 1 hour isn't very much. Well, that'd be a lot more than you're doing right now, isn't it? So that's a start for the young men, the young women in this assembly, so that God would do a great work in the future here. So she quoted from God's word, and then she explains the reason why God was pouring out his judgment upon them. Because they have forsaken me, and they have burned incense unto other gods, and they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. But hadn't Josiah purged the land of all these idols 6 years earlier? Yes, he did. And maybe some of us have purged our lives of some of these idols, some of these secret sins 6 years ago, but all of a sudden they start creeping back into our lives. And it's a time of self-examination and to see how we are doing in our spiritual lives that we might get right with God again. God is the God of restoration. You know, it's a wonderful message because judgment was declared and going to be poured out upon this country. But what does she say to Josiah, or the king? Send this message back to the king. As for the king of Judah, because your heart was tender and you did humble yourself before God when you heard the words against this place and against the inhabitants. And God promises him that he shall not see the destruction that's going to be poured out upon this land. Chapter 35. And verse 1, it says, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Down in 23, we see Josiah's life ends prematurely. Do you know how old Josiah was? For a man that followed the Lord never went to the left or to the right. He sought the Lord with all his heart. And there was a battle raging. And he says, I'm going to get involved in that battle. And the other opposing king says, no, this is none of your business. Stay out of this. And he says, no, I'm going to get involved in this battle. And because he got distracted, his young life was snuffed out at 39. If you're 16, 39 seems like you're really old. But when you get to my age, 39 is a young fella. So value your time. What does it say in Psalm 90? We'll close with this. What are our days? 70. He says, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I would pray that you would take these scattered thoughts, a lot of thoughts from different angles. But Father, you know who is here this morning. You know the audience. And maybe there were things spoken that might even be offensive to some. But Father, that our hearts would be touched and we would be drawn back to thee, O Lord. Outside of thee, there's nothing of value. Lord, you're the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Think of the words of the Lord Jesus. I come quickly. Lord, help us to redeem the time. Help us to speak to loved ones. Help us to plead with them if we need be. To tell them of the glory of heaven and the danger of rejecting Christ and ending up in hell. Lord, you're a loving God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, we're thankful for this promise. We trust your word. Give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.